Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio. I appreciate you being here with us tonight. We have Kimster on board. She is our executive producer and basically does every little thing I asked her to do, and she does it, by gosh, with a smile on her face. Well, tonight, I was hoping Mark Klass could be on tonight again. We had Mark Klass on last week, but because of the developments in the Jessica Ridgway case, I was hoping he could be with us again tonight. But he is in the middle of a debate. Now, remember last week, Mark spoke so eloquently about Proposition 36. That's the three strikes law, three felonies, and then you get a minimum 25-year sentence. Proposition 36 gives all kinds of discretion to the judges and the prosecutors. So when you hear these so-called horror stories about someone going away for 25 years based on the three strikes because they stole a candy bar, don't buy it. It means the first two felonies were so horrendous, the first two that this person committed were so horrendous that the judge and the prosecutor determined the felony to be big enough and bad enough to be included in the three strike statute. So, you know, they could have talked it down, they could have, negotiated it down, but if there's two big felonies, then the third one is your third strike. And like Mark said, why do we have to have a third victim? They've already proven that two times they can be violent and dangerous. Why do we have to wait for a third victim? Anyway, Mark is having a heated debate with those who want to overturn the three strikes and you're out law in California. And unfortunately, the three strikes overturning side is winning because they've got a lot of money behind them, and it's Mark. It's him debating everybody, all the big money and everything. But trust me, Mark Klass can handle it. He can stand on his own two feet. He doesn't need anybody. If anybody could get three strikes to continue in California, it is certainly Mark Klass. Tonight, we will be discussing the very, very tragic case of Jessica Ridgway. And, you know, how many times have we heard this story? How many times? Sweet 10-year-old girl on her way to school, grabbed and killed. It's just awful. Now, Jessica's body was found not intact. That's a kind of an odd way for law enforcement to put it, but people are gleaning from that perhaps Jessica's head and hands were missing, cut by the monster who took her. Jessica's backpack showed up several miles away in kind of an odd location, a location that didn't seem so random if you talk to people in the area. And many thought Jessica's kidnapping was connected to the Cody, Wyoming abduction of Caitlin Groves. Now, Caitlin was assaulted and then released. And we do have updated information on that case. There is a suspect that has been booked into a jail in Bozeman. He's got a $2 million bond. His name is Jesse Paul Spear. And he's being held for the state of Wyoming. That's all we know so far. Don't know much more than that, but when someone is being held in Bozeman, Montana, on a $2 million bond, you can be assured that that person is suspected of doing something pretty horrendous. The FBI has said these two cases are not connected, but boy, they sound alike, don't they? Everybody is thinking they are, but according to the FBI, they're not. That could change with the arrest of Mr. Spear. We'll have to wait and see. Hopefully, we'll have a resolution to Jessica's case just as quickly. Now, tonight on Web Sleuths, tonight on Trisha's True Crime Radio, we have someone whose first post on Web Sleuths about Jessica's case was so interesting that I asked him to be on the show tonight. He is a local. He lives in the general area of the crime. I've spoken to him. I know his name. But tonight we're just going to use his Web Sleuth name, and that is Mr. Mayer. Mr. Mayer, welcome to Trisha's True Crime Radio.
Hey, thanks, Trisha.
Okay. First of all, what led you to Web Sleuth? How did you find us?
Well, I live in Superior, Colorado, which is the location where the backpack was found. And, you know, obviously when something hits so close to home, it's pretty shocking. So I sort of immediately jumped on Google to check out the location of where the backpack was found. And I think it was in that search that I came across Web Sleuths. I think a post or something on the forum had mentioned that intersection and led me there.
Understood. Okay, well, that's good to know because I'm always interested on how people find Web Sleuths. Jessica Ridgway, let's just recap this horrible story, but all too often we hear this story, and that's what's so frustrating. I am so sick of our kids being taken and killed and assaulted by these monsters. Jessica, walking to school, mom said bye-bye, and mom worked overnight, so she went to bed. Grandma was there to help get Jessica ready. Jessica's on her way to school, never made it. A few days later, her body showed up not too far away, and like the police said, not intact. That's a very, usually they will say, you know, there's some animal damage. They'll give some sort of indication. But when they say not intact and they had to use DNA to find out if it was really her, that's got to mean there wasn't any teeth and there weren't any fingerprints. So you got to wonder, was as horrible as it is, was it her head and her hands? That wouldn't surprise me at all. Mr. Mayor. You started out, your first post was just really caught. I mean, everybody, not just me, everybody went, wow, this guy has really got it. Give us your kind of overall view of the case, just in general. She's walking to school. Who is the perp in your mind? Who do you see him as being?
Well, you know, my sort of theories are based on my familiarity with the area. And I actually walk my dog over near the area where the backpack was found, and I'm familiar with the area in general. And when I looked at the area via the Google satellite, something sort of stood out to me. The thing I noticed immediately was that there's an inlet into the neighborhood, a footpath, like, if you will, that gives residents access to the trail that runs along McCaslin Boulevard. And that trail then connects to a network of nearby trails, open space, and parks. And based on where the backpack was found, not far from that footpath into the neighborhood, it seemed more likely to me that the backpack may have been placed there by someone who, you know, accessed the location by the trail as opposed to by vehicle. If you look at the map, by car, it's not really a place that you would stumble upon by accident. And, you know, if you're not familiar with that neighborhood and don't live there, I would imagine you could probably get lost or turned around pretty easily. And if you look at the map between where Jessica's home and where the backpack was found, it's a large open space area as well. Or it's not a large open space, but there's not much population in between there.
Mm-hmm.
When law enforcement initially said something to effect that they didn't think there was someone out there abducting children, and then focused the search on the open space area north and west of Superior, I actually initially suspected that Jessica may have run away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, though improbable for a 10-year-old girl, I thought it was at least conceivable that if she had been trying to avoid detection for some reason, that, you know, she could have done that for 24 hours or so from the time that, you know, the Amber Alert was issued.
And why did you think that? Why did you think that she may have run away?
Well, it was, like I said, I thought it was interesting, first of all, that the police made such a direct statement. You know, I thought it was kind of a bold statement that they didn't think that there was a child abductor out on the loose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, it looked like they're very possibly could be. So for them to say that kind of led me to believe, well, maybe they think she ran away.
Mm-hmm.
And also just where this backpack was located, just inside of this neighborhood, I thought, well, maybe she, you know, had wandered this open space area, had finally grown tired of carrying the backpack, and, you know, had wandered into this neighborhood just off the trail she was on, and mm-hmm. had carried on. Of course, when the body was found, you know, you start to think about that in different terms. And the area where the body was found in Arvada is also open space. It's probably 12 or 15 miles south of Superior. And I noticed, too, that this also was not a place that many people just stumble upon by chance. The
mm-hmm.
entire surrounding area is open space, and there are only a few roads that connect the suburbs, the Denver's northwest suburbs, with Highway 93, which runs between Boulder and Golden.
Mm-hmm.
So for other than the people that live in that immediate area, I would guess that most people in Denver have never really had a reason to travel those roads. You know, for most of us, there's an easier
way
to access Boulder or Golden or the mountains or wherever you're going.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that these things all took place in a relatively small area, that they were all near open space, led me to believe that this person is probably a resident of the area. First of all, I think that it's unlikely that this person would commit the crime, you know, because there was a period of time, you know, Friday morning the abduction took place, and at some point late Saturday night or early Sunday morning the backpack was dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So this person was in this immediate area for that period of time. I have a hard time believing that they would have done it somewhere, gone back somewhere else, and then came back to these other random places to
right.
dispose of these, you know, the body and of the backpack. And, you know, based on that, I feel like it could be someone that is closely connected to or has an affinity for the outdoors and has probably spent a lot of time hiking or biking in the open spaces around Indiana Street.
Mm-hmm.
And Indiana Street effectively turns into McCaslin Boulevard, which is right near the where the backpack was found. And the whole area is just littered with trails and open space. And to me, there just seemed to be something about that, these specific locations that wouldn't necessarily strike someone who hadn't spent time in that area to,
right.
you know, to go to these specific places.
So in other words, although to us, that the people that don't live there and don't know the area, it looks random. When you're there and you put it all together, there really doesn't sound like there's anything random about it.
Well, you know, what I suspect is that perhaps this person may have even also biked or jogged or hiked in the trails that go through Chelsea Park or in the roads that go through Jessica's neighborhood, and may have been able to observe her routine, you know, on
mm-hmm.
their morning jog, or maybe this person's a delivery driver or a service technician that you know services that area and was able to observe her that way. I think another thing, the FBI said, you know, that this person was likely an organized killer. So I would guess that, you know, they would not want to take the risk of abducting someone without a fair amount of, you know, prior planning or operation.
Right. They would be able to make sure that they got away and would not be seen. And you're right. So it sounds like it could be very careful planning. We're talking about the very tragic case of Jessica Ridgway. She was kidnapped. Her body was found not intact a few days later. We have with us Mr. Mayor. He's not a mayor, but he is a newbie on Web Sleuths, the forum that we all know and love. And his first post on the Jessica case was so compelling, I asked him to join us on the show today. Because, Mr. Mayor, what you posted is what a lot of us, I'm sure, have been thinking, almost the exact same thing. But let me ask you, this, after listening to you, it sounds like it wasn't as random as perhaps it may appear on paper when you're reading it. Where her body was found, wouldn't he risk being seen? I mean, I just remember seeing it and it being this wide open space and then a road right there.
Well, that's another thing that I guess I theorize about. I suspect that both the body and the backpack may have been transported a considerable distance by foot, as opposed to by vehicle, despite their both of them being found just off roadways. You know, I guess my theory of this person would include that they may feel very comfortable and almost invincible in these open space areas,
mm-hmm.
and that they would have preferred, you know, knowing that there was law enforcement scrutiny in the area, may have preferred to do this, despite it obviously being more physically demanding, may have elected to do this rather than, you know, risk getting caught in a random roadblock or search, that he knew very well could have been going on due to this abduction. So, you know, I think that he wanted, certainly wanted these items to be found, but definitely did not want to be found with the items.
Right.
And I think if you look at these places, if you're on, especially where the body was located, there's one stretch of road. If you're a car out there, one car out there in that road, and there's another car coming from behind you or from an opposite direction, there is nowhere to go. And if it happens to be a police officer, you're taking an awful big risk. If you look at both of the areas of the backpack and the body, by foot, you can effectively run in any direction if something, you know, something goes awry.
Yeah, but so let me interrupt you here for just a moment. I'm talking about where her body was found, and I'm just going by the pictures that I've seen. You say you can run in any direction, but it's just kind of hilly and grass. There's nowhere to hide. How could he be carrying a body down a highway and get into that area? I don't see how he could do it he'd have to at least drive in there, and you would think somebody would see him. Or, let me just add to my 300 questions in that one comment, or could it be that the road is just so lonely, nobody travels it, that there really wasn't a risk like at 3 a.m.? Thoughts on that, since you're a local and you know the area?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm not all that familiar with that area. I'm a lot more familiar with this immediate area surrounding Superior. I do know that, you know, that those roads are pretty desolate, and it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, there goes hours and hours between vehicles traveling down that road. I think, you know, obviously this is speculation, but I do think that, again, this person feels more comfortable in these open space areas. And so while it may defy our logic for him to backpack in or hike in with a body over these hills, you know, I suspect that this person may feel so much more comfortable in this location or than he would, you know, traveling by vehicle, that that's the reason that these, you know, both the backpack and the body were found in or near open space areas. And, but yeah, there's certainly some valid questions. I mean, when he's supposedly dropping this body a few feet off the roadway, if he were to hike in from any neighborhood or anything that surrounds these open space areas, it would be quite a hike.
Right.
And the chances that you would run into someone, I imagine, would be almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
Although I've also heard people that live down closer to there saying that this area was a place that was frequented by high school kids, you know, going
party
to drink beer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, that's another factor, you know, that maybe he was in the process of doing something and wanted to take it further up into the hills, but some high school kids came and he, you know, dumped it just off the road.
There.
I don't know, but
yeah. Yeah. Well,
and I guess there's been some back and forth on whether the body was actually found in that culvert that runs under the road or
mm-hmm.
in the location that was shown by, you know, the news helicopters, which appeared to be up on the hillside.
On the hill.
A bit further beyond a barbed wire fence. So
mm-hmm.
that was another part of it. The body, if the body was in fact found inside of that barbed wire fence, that would be another reason for me to believe that this person may have come from inside of the fence.
As opposed to outside.
Getting out of the car, climbing mm-hmm. over the fence and depositing the body, or throwing it over the fence, or what have you.
Very, very interesting and very good point. If the speculation is correct and her head, Jessica's head and hands are missing, why? What's your theory?
Oh, my God, I don't know. I mean, that's... I don't know. You know, I've never, that, like I said, that's my first post on Web Sleuth, and I've never had a keen interest in you know, crime or anything. But
mm-hmm.
I guess just from, you know, watching Criminal Minds or whatever, I can't really even begin to imagine why someone would do that. Although, you know, in general, the sort of erratic nature of this crime strikes me as someone that this would have been their first time to to do something like this. And I know there's a lot of people who would contradict that and say that the violent nature of the crime suggests somebody that has built up to, you know, that level of atrocity. But I don't know. I think that it may have been somebody that was doing this for the first time, and I think maybe it didn't go according to plan. I don't know. This person doesn't strike me as the little that I've read. You know, people on the Web Sleuths forum have linked to various articles and profiles of a typical dismemberment case and what that typically signifies in terms of the perpetrator. And I don't know. This one doesn't necessarily strike me as someone who is would be doing that for the maybe standard reasons of some sort of sexual gratification that they get from it or something like that. I think it may have just been for more practical purposes, such as concealing the body from if they have neighbors or, you know what I mean?
Or the perhaps the transportation of the body.
Or exactly, the transportation of it, if in fact it was done on foot. I don't know. You know, obviously, when it's the head and the hands, if that's the case, it points in the direction of him trying to prevent identification. But you would think that almost anyone would know that DNA would be able to do that fairly easily.
If
and
he
obviously
he really
wasn't making a serious attempt to hide this person. I mean, there's vast wilderness 15 minutes beyond where this body was dumped. If they wanted to truly prevent identification, they could have, you know, gone to more lengths to hide the body, and I don't think they would have dropped the backpack.
Exactly. Here's the thing. We're talking with one of our new members on Web Sleuths, Mr. Mayer. We're discussing the very tragic case of Jessica Ridgway, and we're all kind of armchair detectives here, if you will, and we've all read the true crime books, and we've all read the interesting psychological profiles, and it's just all of our opinion. That's all this is, but, you know, we may be right, we may be wrong. I don't know. You mentioned you think this is the perpetrator's first time. Do you think perhaps, my theory is, if it is his first time, I don't know, I'm just so appalled by this. If it is his first time, it's his first time murdering. I don't think it's his first time attacking children. I don't think it's his first time doing probably a number of things, peeping Tom, all kinds of bizarre stuff. If he is a first-timer, this is his first murder, but he worked his way up to it, almost like a frenzy. Thoughts on that?
You know, I don't know. I see that a lot, you know, from people that seem like they've been on the forum a lot. You know, there seems to be a big focus on registered sex offenders when it comes to these murders and abductions, and obviously there must be a reason for that. You know, I assume that there's a pretty strong correlation between people that have offended in some way before and then people who end up abducting. You know, I really don't know. I don't know what the typical, you know, progression of that would be. But, you know, there, like I said, to me, there are some things about this that strike me as someone who may have snapped and someone who has been otherwise, you know, repressing these
urges.
You know, psychotic urges in the past, and, you know, perhaps a divorce or a death in the family or, you know, lost job may have triggered, you know, something or another thing that I think people have thought is maybe they acted out of opportunity. Maybe this person, in fact, lives with a family or a spouse or a girlfriend, and that person went out of town for the weekend, and this was a you know, a crime of opportunity.
Just because, it could be. I mean, that very, very well could be. On your post, you did mention that you know, you feel a stressor caused this person to snap and to do these things. Usually, we picture, and it's so funny because you said this in your post, and this is exactly what I say too. Usually, you picture somebody living in their grandma's basement on the computer, but you don't think that this guy is like that. You think he's a little more sophisticated, in your opinion.
I don't think I would honor him with sophisticated necessarily, but I think maybe a little more calculating, I suppose sophisticated in the sense that not your typical, I don't know what the stereotype may be of someone who typically does this stuff. I think that this person may very well have been, you know, employed. You know, I speculate that this type of person would be someone who would be, you know, of average or slightly above average intelligence, but may have delusions of grandeur.
Right.
And think that they're a lot smarter than they are and feels shorted by not having achieved more, or that maybe society has not recognized them for, you know, their supposed brilliance.
Exactly. You know who that sounds like is a little bit, I don't know if you're familiar with the case of John List. He's the man who killed his family and went on the run for like 30 years, and then finally America's Most Wanted caught him due to a bust made of his face, a progression, age progression bust, and someone recognized him. John List was the type of guy who just didn't know really how to socialize, but he thought if he worked hard and did things right, he should have progressed up the ladder, and he didn't, and he could never understand why. And that was one of his really big frustrations, one of the reasons that led to the killing of his whole family. And this is a very interesting profile that you're coming up with, that, you know, perhaps he's one of these guys that has difficult time getting along with people, and then can't figure out why he's never promoted. It's always everybody else's fault, not his, when in reality, it's just the opposite.
Exactly.
So, you brought up an interesting point, several of them. Because of the location of the backpack, it's not so random necessarily. You kind of have to know how to get there to put the backpack there. If you knew the area, you would assume that the backpack would have been found quickly. It's that type of area that has a lot of traffic at certain times, or?
Not a lot of traffic. I mean, it's certainly a neighborhood, you know, with these long serpentine streets and cul-de-sacs. You know, I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I think that it was... to me, the thing that really stood out was the approximation to this inlet. If you look at the map on, you know, the satellite, you can see this little footpath. Or it's not a footpath. It's just a space between the homes that is a little inlet into this neighborhood that gives these people access. And this backpack was found just, you know, 30 yards or so inside of this inlet. And to me, it really struck me that is the exact place in this sort of winding neighborhood that they would have chosen to deposit this backpack. I thought that was more than
interesting. And that could actually point to the fact that maybe he lives in that area as opposed to where he took Jessica or where he left Jessica.
Yeah.
It could be that he lives in that area.
You would think that a person would certainly feel more comfortable disposing of something like the backpack in their immediate area rather than a body, you know. It would make sense that they would want to take that a little further away. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if that person lives in this, you know, Superior area, or really any one of these, all of these areas, Superior, Westminster, and Arvada, are sort of a horseshoe that goes around Stanley Lake and that whole open space area that surrounds it. Excuse me. And to me, that was the thing that stood out was all these locations being real close to open space. And again, I wouldn't be surprised if it was someone that may live in Jessica's neighborhood. That would I think give them a bit better opportunity to observe her routine, and so I think they probably live closer to Jessica's where Jessica
neighborhood
was abducted than either of these two locations. But you know, anywhere in this area would not surprise me at all.
Yeah. It's interesting in your profile on Web Sleuths. you put that he's got some odd behavior, you know, antisocial behavior that is starting to show, and friends and family were starting to notice before the murder, correct? He was kind of acting, in your opinion, it's just a fascinating profile. He's starting to kind of be erratic. Tell us about that.
Well, I would, you know, I would just imagine, you know, I guess it's difficult to climb into inside the mind of someone, but, you know, I know that, you know, true psychopaths or sociopaths or whatever can truly not feel any empathy or remorse. You know, they very mm-hmm. well might not, but I would think that somebody that would be capable of doing this would have exhibited, you know, these urges would have betrayed this person in some way or another at some point, I feel. You know, whether it's extreme, making extreme statements or extreme political views or, you know, something that would have, or like you said, at work, you know, this person mm-hmm. is always causing trouble and they never get promoted and that kind of thing. Like, I would think that someone capable of these things would have had to have, you know, shown some signs of being weird, and especially after this was done. I mean, you would think that there would be, you know, depression right. or mania or some kind of bizarre behavior that someone out there has observed and noticed, you know. And I'm hoping exactly. that, you know, by maybe adding some local perspective to it, and to say, you know, well, all of us around here are on guard now. Mm-hmm. And I think you guys have heard about the apparent mistake down in Golden, that there was they thought last night that there had been an attempted abduction of a young boy, and that it had in fact been some jilted teen boyfriend trying to
boy.
Get in touch with his ex-girlfriend or something. But,
you know,
anyway,
you
got to
be so careful.
Hyper aware.
Yeah. And you got to be careful. You just, you know, here's the thing. Everyone is really, they've given us a profile. And yes, they've asked us to call in if we've seen people who are behaving in a strange way. Nothing wrong with that. But don't go pointing your fingers at everybody and thinking they're the killer right away. Because likely they're not, but they might be. So it doesn't hurt to report them and just go from there. But, you know, I know people are hypervigilant right now, and that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. You just got to be careful that you don't throw out this big net and bring in all these innocent people and have their names dragged through the mud.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, to me, it's just as important as, you know, solving the crime ultimately. If you're dragging people's names through the mud and stuff, that can ruin lives, especially in association with something like that. So,
exactly.
But, yeah, I think there's absolutely nothing wrong, you know, and that's why I, you know, wanted to come on. I think if, you know, people have observed, maybe they just observed something a little off this weekend with their friend or their family member or whatever. And, you know, what I'd like to say is, based on what I've observed, this person might also be someone that loves the outdoors and spend a lot of time in these open space areas. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, maybe if it wasn't enough for you to call the police, you know, on someone that you cared about just because they were acting a little strange, maybe coupled with, you know, that person, you know, that person has spent a lot of time in these open space areas, and you know, that might
be enough right there.
To push them to call. And, well, you know, I think the police probably do a really good job of, you know, sources.
Right. Let me comment on that, if I can, Mr. Mayor. I want to tell you something that happened here a little bit ago, and it has a point to the end here. Occasionally we get people on Web Sleuths that will contact me or contact one of our moderators and say, hey, I have a lead, but I don't want to call the police. Will you call them? Now, we don't want people to come to Web Sleuths and put up, information and clues and leads, and we want them to go to the police. It's not our job to do that. That's the last thing we want. When we see someone posting, you know, hey, I know this guy, and he's done this and this and this, we usually take the post right off and tell them to call the police, because the last thing we want to do is interfere in that way. However, there are occasions where people do feel uncomfortable calling the police. They might feel embarrassed or something. And what I do is I'll say yes, but if they ask for your name, I'm going to have to give it to them. And they always say that's okay. So over the weekend, somebody contacted me, and it was someone who had pointed out a perpetrator who was a child. He was on the sexual offenders list, but he was missing. But there were lots of things about him. And he lived in the area of Colorado. There were lots of things about him that you could say, wow, this could really be a very viable suspect. So they contacted me, and they just, for some reason, they felt uncomfortable, and that's fine. So I called the police. It was like 2 in the morning when I got this email. And so I called the tip line. And I would be stunned if the guy wrote anything down that I talked to. And the reason why I'm telling you this is if you really feel that somebody is the perpetrator and you call and you get somebody that just acts like they don't care, call back. Write a letter.
Right.
Do what you have to do, okay? This was middle of the night. The guy could have just been tired, and maybe he did write it down. But I'm going to call again on Monday during the day just to make sure. But I gave him the possible perpetrator's name, and he goes, yeah, okay, thanks. And I said, well, don't you want my name? Oh, yeah, sure. And I gave him my name. He didn't write anything down. So that's my point is, you know.
In contradiction to, you know, the the spokesperson for Westminster PDs, you know, we've received X amount of leads and all of them will be followed up in due time, you know.
Well, exactly.
But you're right. Ultimately, you know,
don't let that discourage you.
You know, exploring somebody that may be a person of interest. If you feel that they didn't respond in the way that, you know, you want it, then absolutely call back, write back, whatever you got to do.
Well, I'm going to call back during the day, you know, because like I said, this was 2 in the morning. I'm not blaming the police, and he very well could have taken it down. It just,
sure.
I don't know. I just didn't think so. So that was kind of my experience with it. So if anybody out there listening has a similar experience, don't let that discourage you, and don't hesitate to call back, and don't hesitate to write a letter, okay? We're talking with Mr. Mayer, a newbie on Web Sleuths, who has offered a very compelling and very interesting profile, if you will, of the killer of Jessica Ridgway. And again, I am just so sick of doing shows about our children who are being killed. I'm sick of it. I'm tired. Every week, every week there's a new child that has been taken. And I think one of the main things we have to do, and I will say this till I'm on my deathbed, one of the main things we have to do is we have to understand how these monsters are created and stop them from being created. You know, if you watch Nancy Grace and somebody says, well, he had a bad childhood, or she goes ballistic on them and says that, you know, you're just being a bleeding heart and you want to help the perpetrator, not the victim. And she'll go crazy if you just try and say, I want to understand his background. We need to understand the background. It's imperative. If we want to save our children, we need to understand why these monsters are created. We already know a lot. And a lot of it does have to do with abuse. That doesn't give it any excuse whatsoever. What that means is if they've been horribly abused and they turn out to be a murderer, then guess what? We need to be protected from them, and they need to be put to death. End of story. That's just my opinion. That's about protecting society in general. But you have brought up a very interesting profile on Web Sleuths, and you've gone through it tonight. What do you think, based on everything that you've put together, what do you think the perpetrator is doing now? Is he enjoying this? Is he nervous? What do you think?
That he would be, and this is based on some of the other elements that I've theorized that this is a first-time thing for him. I think that he probably is very nervous and very agitated. And I think one of the other things I posted was that, you know, and it goes without saying to some degree, but, you know, I think there's a very high chance that this person could strike again soon, just based out of this sort of agitated state that they're in, or that they might continue to, you know, release clues or something like that so that, you know, as long as they're releasing clues and the news media is all over it, then at least they have some insight into where the police are at in their investigation, you know. And, you know, I think it may be likely that this person will try to interact with law enforcement in some way or release evidence or clues just so that they can stay, stay abreast of the progress of the investigation. And, I don't know, but I would imagine that they're very nervous and anxious. I don't know. I guess it probably it sounds like some. I mean, I don't know. Enjoyment is.
It's an odd word to use, but
for me to fathom,
to comprehend. But that very well could be what this sicko is doing, and he does need to be stopped and captured. And Colorado does have the death penalty, but it's been a long time since they put anybody to death. But this guy seems like he has earned it. Mr. Mayor, I want to thank you for jumping in with both feet, your first post. I want to let everybody know, we have a chat room going, and people are saying, well, what is Mr. Mayor's experience? Mr. Mayor is just like us. He is a poster who is interested, and he's a local, which is why I called him, because he's local to the area, he knows the area, and I wanted to get a local's perspective to describe the areas that we have been seeing, and he has done that for us, and then just offered up his opinion, which I found to be very compelling. So, Mr. Mayor, thank you so much for joining us. I hope you'll join us more on Web Sleuths, and you take care now. And if you hear anything, or if you have any other information that you want to pass on, feel free to do so. We'd love to hear from you, okay?
Great. Thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And
Thank you.
Also just did want to offer my condolences to, you know, Jessica's family and friends. I can't imagine what they're going through. And, for me it was, I've been very, I spent a lot of time on Web Sleuths and stuff reading about this. And, you're not living if it doesn't, you know, touch you and affect you.
Right.
But like you said, I think it's important that we figure out who these people are so that we can prevent this before it happens. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that means, you know, us enduring some difficult things and talking about some difficult things in order to try and bring this person to justice.
Exactly. You are right on, my dear. Thank you so much, Mr. Mayor. I'll tell you what, I'll put you on hold if you'd like to keep on listening, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Kimster, hi.
Hello.
Very interesting. Very, very interesting poster. I want to stress again, no background in profiling as a professional, but I just found his post interesting, and I needed a local. I needed someone who knew all of the areas. And when I spoke to him, I called him on the phone. When I spoke to him, he did know the areas very well, and I could tell he would be able to describe them perfectly, and he gave us exactly what we needed. And that was the understanding of where Jessica's backpack was found and where her body was found and just the type of risk that this perpetrator took when he took Jessica, murdered her, and then deposited the backpack and her body. So I would like to thank him for that. Now I have a much better visual of this, and I can kind of understand a little, not understand, but I have a bit more of a clearer picture on the person who did this, and I am just hoping and praying to God that he is found very, very quickly. Kimster, I want to talk about something that happens a lot on Web Sleuths, and you and I have talked about this. Whenever there is a big, huge crime, and all crimes are huge to somebody, but one that gets a lot of media attention, and if it involves a murder, every time we get people coming to us saying the perpetrator is on the board, the perpetrator is on Web Sleuth and is posting clues. We get that constantly, don't we, Kimster?
Oh, yes, every single case.
Are you there?
Every single case.
And
can
let
you
me
not
tell
hear
you.
Me?
I do now. I didn't at first. But let me tell you, here's the thing. We do get perpetrators on the board. We've had one murderer on the board that we know of for certain. Now, we do get subpoenas occasionally. We've talked about this before. If we don't have any information on anybody, but if a law enforcement person wants to know a person's IP address, we require a subpoena. And then we turn it over. Unfortunately, they never call us back and say, hey, here's what we found. So we don't know. But here's what I want to assure people of. Law enforcement is always reading at Web Sleuth. Law enforcement, media, all of that. They are reading. They are taking notes. They see it. Okay? So I wouldn't worry about if you think the perpetrator is on Web Sleuth. I wouldn't worry that the cops don't know it. However, if, you know, you feel very compelled that this person absolutely could be somebody of interest, you know, call it in as a tip. Tell them it's, you know, here is the information on Web Sleuth. Let them check it out. However, I would almost guarantee, but I can't because I can't be that certain, but I would almost guarantee that the police are already on Web Sleuth and other blogs as well and other forums reading to see if there is a perpetrator on here. Kimster, what other cases have that we know of that the perpetrator has actually been on Web Sleuth? We know of several of them, but we can't say for sure because there's never been a trial yet. So I can't say that.
One I know of for sure is Abraham Shakespeare.
Abraham Shakespeare. That was the gentleman.
Yeah.
He won the lottery. Let me tell you briefly. He won the lottery. He was homeless. I think he won $34 million. And then his quote-unquote best friend got his power of attorney, and he promptly disappeared. And her name was Dee Dee Moore, I think. Oh, I hope I got that right.
Yeah.
Anyway,
that's right.
She came on Web Sleuth defending herself because she was named as a suspect in the paper. And we were working with the police at the time, and they were just like, let her go. Just let her go. And we did, and she talked herself right into an arrest. It was great. They found Mr. Shakespeare underneath a slab of cement in her boyfriend's garage, I believe, or yard. Maybe perhaps it was a driveway. It was very tragic. I mean, this poor guy, homeless, and he wins the lottery, and this psycho comes along and kills him and takes all his money. It's absolutely terrible. But anyway, I just want to assure you that, yes, it is highly unlikely that a perpetrator is on Web Sleuth. It can happen, but the police are on Web Sleuth a lot. And we do work with the police, off and on throughout the years on many cases. And that's another thing. Can I get on my soapbox here for a moment, Kimster? Do you think anybody would mind?
Well, I don't know. What are you going to say?
I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. That's the scary thing. But here's the deal. Every day I battle the perception of what people on Web Sleuth are like. People in law enforcement and other government agencies perceive people who post on Web Sleuth as people with nothing better to do, basically forgotten by society, and they're just nosy busybodies. Now, fortunately, we have made a lot of strides with getting the law enforcement agencies to understand that we are anything but like what I just described. Many of our members are college educated. We have retired law enforcement. We have retired everybody you can think of. We have doctors, lawyers, psychiatrists, everybody, professors. And then people like me, a stay-at-home mom, basically, who has something to offer. And our theory and our goal is to let everybody know we think you have something to offer. That's what we love about Web Sleuth. But, and here comes the but, we work very hard at trying to get law enforcement to understand we are not a bunch of crazy busybodies who interfere with all of their investigations. So when people call in and say that and give tips and say they're from Web Sleuths, and you know it's something just stupid, it makes all of us look bad, and then we have to try and repair that that damage done. And let me tell you another thing too: whenever anything horrible is posted somewhere on the on a forum somewhere about a crime case and it causes a problem, we get blamed for it. I can't tell you how many times I've had somebody call me, either law enforcement or a family member, and say, you know, you've posted this about this and that's wrong and that. And I go and look and it's no such thing. We've never done anything like that. But because we're number one, because we're the ones that everybody thinks of, if they hear something bad or if they hear some sort of horrible rumor, they just assume it's us. So please be very, very careful. Let's not give law enforcement any reason to distrust us. Don't be a nosy busybody, okay? Help, yes, but know when to step back, I guess is what I'm saying. Okay, Kimster, I'll get off my soapbox now, okay?
Okay.
Okay, good. Hey, Kimster, we have a Web Sleuths hot cold case this week that is very interesting. Go for it, my dear. Oh, do your trumpet noise, please.
Do, 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 do.
That's fantastic. It gives me chills. Okay, our Web Sleuths hot cold case. Go for it.
All right, Tricia, this week's hot cold case is about Chaim Weiss, I believe is how you pronounce it. He was murdered in 1986, and Chaim Weiss was only 15 years old. He was found dead in his dormitory room at the Yeshiva of Long Beach, New York, early on the morning of November 1st, 1986. Chaim had been stabbed repeatedly, Tricia, by someone who was familiar with the dorm and the routine there. At first, there was speculation that the murder might have been an act of anti-Semitic violence because of harassment of the Orthodox Jewish boys who attended the yeshiva, but they're not sure that that's the case anymore. But an interesting twist to this case is that the investigation soon revealed that Chaim murderer was knowledgeable about religious customs. A window had been left open slightly in the victim's room, which, according to Orthodox Jewish customs, that enables the spirit of the dead to depart. Beyond that, a lighted mourning candle was placed on Chaim's desk. The victim's father, Anton of Staten Island, eventually got upset with how law enforcement was handling the case. He said he felt that the police had been outsmarted, and he requested the naming of a special prosecutor, but that was never done. There was very little to find in the way of leads. And a quote of Lieutenant Nolan said, "We were dealing with a group that holds very different mores, but eventually we were able to interview everyone in the school as well as all past and present employees. We couldn't even find out why Chaim was killed. To this day, we can't positively state whether it was from inside or outside of the school." And that's a quote from law enforcement. There's more information on Web Sleuths, a lot more information. So be sure to go there, see if you can help solve this case. If you want to help find clues to solve this case and give Chaim's family closure, please go to www.websleuths.com. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a picture of Chaim along with a link to his thread. And if you're not a member of Web Sleuths, what do?
By golly, you join all my flippin' heck, because it's absolutely free. We just need an email address. We don't need your personal information. Just an email address so we can communicate with you when need be. Kimster, thank you. That's a very, very interesting cold case. And oh my gosh, it's heartbreaking. That poor family. That is just so, so awful. Okay, Kimster, I remembered something.
What?
Thank you for asking. I wasn't sure if you were going to ask. Remember I said that Web Sleuths gets blamed for everything when something bad happens? Remember the people that protested outside the Anthony house? And they were obnoxious,
yes,
screaming. Everybody blamed us. The Anthonys, you know, the police, the media. It just seemed like everybody thought it was people from Web Sleuths, that it was organized on Web Sleuths, and we did it. We got there. Just the opposite. We took any mention of that off, and we stated that we absolutely will not allow any discussion of that because we do not agree with it and we won't have any part of it. We came down very hard on it. But we, to this day, there are people that think that it was Web Sleuths that organized that obnoxious protest outside the Anthony's house. I even spoke to a Cindy Anthony about it. And, you know, it just, again, because we're big and because this is the one that everybody goes to, they think we are the ones that do it. So that's what I'm saying. Just please be careful when you say web sleuths. Make sure that, you know, you're not being a nosy busybody or standing out in front of somebody's house screaming at them like they were with the Anthonys. That was so awful. Well, Kimster, another show wrapped up, all done. We're ready to rock out of here. And I will not be here next week. Kimster, I forgot to tell you this. I will actually be in St. Louis with Class Kids, Mark Class, and the rest of the volunteers. If you're in the St. Louis area, we're going to be all over St. Louis doing our free print-a-thons. That's where we encourage our parents to bring their kids, and they get digital fingerprints taken, and then we give them a DNA kit, and Mark has a chance to talk to them about child safety. It's at the Manungas car dealerships all over St. Louis. So I would love to see some of our Web Sleuths members just come up and say hi. I don't know which one I'm going to be at, but you can just send me a private message or email me, and I'll let you know exactly which one I'll be at if you'd like to come by and say hi. I would certainly like to meet you. And one more thing we forgot, and that is the legal goo. We can't forget the legal goo. The opinions expressed on Trisha's True Crime Radio are those of the guests and the host, and that's all there is to it. Trisha's True Crime Radio is not the same as WebSleuths.com, which is a completely different corporate entity, and it's not the same as ForumsForJustice.org. Okay, a quick plug for the Unclaimed Forum, an amazing group of people in there. They are matching up bodies that are unclaimed. They have names, and they're finding their relatives for them. They had, I don't know, what was it, 30-odd matches in September. You can go to the Unclaimed Forum and help out. They would love to have you. Also, the Unidentified Forum. We have some amazing people in there that are working hard to help identify the unidentified and hopefully get them home to their families as well. Kimster, thank you very much. Thanks to everybody in the chat room. Thanks to Mr. Mayor. And we'll see you in 2 weeks on Trisha's True Crime Radio, where we discuss current events and true crime, and we always do it with common sense. Good night, everyone.